Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
So my name is Joanne. I'm one of the pastors here. In fact, I'm the newest addition to the team. Thank you so much for your support. I really, really do appreciate it. I have my own cheerleaders. It's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, so I'm really excited to be here today. I hope that you are. I love what it is that God's laid on my heart, so we'll get on with that in just a second. But first of all, I'd really like to pause and just pray and ask for God's help, because we always need that, right? So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this incredible opportunity that you've given me today to speak to your people. And I ask, Father, that it would be your words and not mine. Holy Spirit, that you would lead and guide, that you would open hearts and that you would open minds to receive what it is that you have for us. This isn't what I have, this is what you have. And so I pray, Lord, that we would just sit and relax right now and rest in you and allow you to speak to our hearts about this incredible subject matter, this incredible gift that you've given us called rest. So we thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory in your name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm really enjoying this series so far. A couple of weeks ago, Doug kicked us off when he talked about work. And he explained to us that when Jesus is at the center of everything that we do, that work actually becomes restored to what it originally was intended. And that is to bring glory and honor to God. Last week, Ryan talked to us about eating. Who doesn't love to eat? We all love to eat. Great subject matter. He asked us to think very deeply, not just about what we eat, but how we eat, with whom we eat, and why we eat. And he left us with some insights, and this is what he gave us. Eating should be infused with love. It's not to be self-centered, but others-centered. Eating should also reflect that our bodies belong to God. They're actually not our own. And so he talked about times of restraint and times of feasting. He also told us that eating should be done for the glory of God. And he gave us the example of when he and his family went over to eat at actually Mike and Carissa's house. And he told us that at the time he was on this very restrictive diet. And he was prepared to bring his own food. But Carissa said, you know what? We're gonna adapt what we're going to eat to you. And so there are times when we do that, that brings glory to God. As I said, we're going to be talking about rest today. That sounds easy, right? Because everybody loves to rest. But it's not always the case. Some of us struggle with stopping and simply being, especially stopping to be in the presence of God. We're going to look at rest from a biblical standpoint. Rest isn't just physical, it's mental and it's spiritual. It's a state of mind as well as a state of body. Having a restful mind, though, is sometimes really difficult, isn't it? We live in this hectic culture. With the plethora of modern conveniences at our fingertips, you would actually think that we would have slowed down. I'm going to have to move this. Keep banging into it. But in fact, we haven't slowed down, we've sped up. And Doug shared with us that in 2012, paid work took up 10% of our time, whereas in 1976, it was only 8%. There's proof there that we're speeding up. There's pressure to do more, isn't there? We can't get away from work with cell phones and email, and you know, it's difficult. I used to work for a bank before I went back to school and studied to be a pastor and went into ministry. I worked in a bank, actually a local bank here in Langley. In fact, some of my old customers are in this congregation, believe it or not. Cool, eh? I know everything about them. No, just kidding. So, it's a good job they're my friends and they think that's funny. Anyway, I'm not going to share any financial secrets. That's not why we're here. Okay, let me get back on track. So at the bank, I was a personal account manager. So I would do mortgages and loans and investments for customers. And they would give us targets. So my job share partner and I would get targets every year. Well, you know what I'm going to talk to you about. we would meet those targets. In fact, more often than not, we would actually exceed them. And we would feel great. Got to December 31st, everything was good. We exceeded our targets. But guess what happened on January 1? They gave us new targets. But those targets were not the same as the previous year. No, guess what? They went up. Great. So every year it felt like we had to do more, we had to accomplish more, we had to contact more customers, we had to sell more MasterCards. You know, it never stopped. We were always having to do more. And that tends to be what our culture's like. But I don't know about you, but I find that today we tend to wear busyness as this badge of honor. Oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I'm so busy. There's like this underlying competition to who has the busiest life. Have you noticed that? Is it just me, or is that not the case? It flows into other areas of our life, not just our work life, but into our family life and into the other things that we do, our social life. We always have to be doing, and you name it, we're doing it. We just absolutely don't stop. You know, the Chinese join two characters to form a single pictograph for the word busyness. This, to me, was really fascinating. The heart and killing. Those two symbols are the word for busyness. The heart and killing. So what does that say? I think it's rather telling. The heart is the place that busyness takes its deepest toll. Then we've got social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. How many of you have a Facebook account? Just put up your hands. Okay. How many of you have a Twitter account? A little less. How many of you have Instagram? Okay. All right, so you guys know what I'm talking about, right? There's that pressure, isn't there? There's that pressure to put that picture up on Instagram, or to write that post, or that update, or, oh my goodness, if we miss an announcement on Facebook, we are the worst friend in the world. If I miss a baby being born or an engagement, oh my, do I feel bad. There's this constant need to keep up. We're running a million miles an hour. And then we wonder why we're so tired, why we're so drained and listless, and we just haven't got time to be. We have become human doings rather than human beings. So what about this so-called good life that God's called us to as believers? Our focus verse for this series is Colossians 3, 16 and 17. This is what it says. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So how can this gospel, this good news, speak to our busy culture and our crazy lives today? Well, Jesus calls us to rest in him. He came so that we could have life and have it to the fullest. And by that, I don't think he meant cramming in as much as we possibly could into a 24-hour period. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's helpful for us to understand this a little more fully if we take a look at the original audience. They were Jewish. These people were bound by very strict, cumbersome laws imposed on them by the religious leaders of the day. And Leanne talked about that back in June when she was discussing the purity laws found in Mark. There were also rules surrounding the Sabbath that had become so restrictive that they were almost impossible to follow. And in addition to that, they had the pressure of living under the rule of the Roman Empire. Taxes were high, people were squeezed tighter and tighter, and they were working harder and harder to scratch a living. Quite simply put, they were exhausted. Now, we don't have the same pressures today. Life might seem easy in comparison. But if we take a closer look at our culture, we can see that the results on the body, mind, and spirit are not so different. I look around at people, not just here, I'm talking about out everywhere, and they are exhausted. They're tired. They're stressed. They're haggard. They're just done. Our pressure is often very internal, isn't it? We got to keep up with everybody else. We live in this materialistic, success-achieving focus culture. So the pressure is on to climb that ladder of success, to get more and more stuff. There's a bumper sticker that reads, "He who dies with the most toys wins." You've all seen it, right? I actually prefer the next one. It says, "He who dies with the most toys is still dead." Mary E. DeMuth writes, "Because the culture we breathe and work in rushes against rest, it equates our worth with production and wealth and fame. The more we work toward those goals, the more society assigns us worth." Jesus hasn't called us to this. He came to turn that worldview upside down. Luke raised the all-important question when he introduced this series. He asked, "Why are we here? What is our purpose?" That's a big question in our culture today, isn't it? Why are we here and what is our purpose? The answer, he said, was to know and enjoy God. To know and enjoy God. We're not created to mainly produce. We're created primarily to relate. We're fashioned in the image of God, and He is a relational being. We're first introduced to rest in Genesis. "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished His work of creation, so He rested from all His work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when He rested from all His work of creation." So why did God rest? Do you think He needed to rest? Isn't He God? Surely He doesn't need to rest. God rested to give us an example of how to live. To give us permission, if you like, to rest from our work. Many of us need to hear that today. God's giving us permission to rest from our work. Doug talked about work-life balance, didn't he, a couple of weeks ago? He told us that work is good. God gave Adam work to do in the garden. He gave Eve work to do in the garden. And I don't want to take away from hard work, ethic, and ambition. That's not what I'm here to do today. They're admirable qualities, but not if they come at the expense of rest. Rest is vital. It's vital because it prevents us from falling into the danger of being defined by what we do instead of by who we are. I want to say that again. Rest is vital because it prevents us from falling into the trap of believing, of being defined by what we do rather than by who we are. That was lost in the fall, and it's gone all downhill from there. We've become producers instead of relators. Now, an opportunity to reinstate this work-life balance came when God made a covenant with the children of Israel. Rest was so important to Him that He mandated it in the Ten Commandments. "But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you." To understand this more fully, we need to cast our minds back to Egypt and the years of slavery that the Israelites had endured. They were worked 7 days a week. There was no rest. Hard, grueling, back-breaking work. God freed them from this. He brought them out of Egypt to give them their lives back. But they'd been in captivity for so long, they didn't even know how to live anymore. So he commanded them to rest on the seventh day. They needed this rest physically, but they also needed it mentally and spiritually. The Sabbath day gave them the opportunity to fully connect with him. It also gave them a chance to connect with one another. I've already mentioned that we're made in God's image. He's a relational being, and so are we. We need time to be with others, don't we? We need time to connect, to feel valued, to feel loved and cared for. Community is vital for humans. And I saw community happening during community time. It was great to see. We need it. We crave it. It's good for us. If we never stop, we're always on the go. Are we getting true community? Remember Luke mentioning a couple of weeks ago, the most hard-hitting punishment in prison is solitary confinement. Even the most hard-nosed criminal doesn't like it. Why not? Because we're created for community. If we don't stop, are we honestly getting to know others as deeply as we could be? And don't we all long to be known? If that goes for getting to know other people, surely getting to know God falls into the same category. If we're too busy to simply sit and spend time at his feet, we're missing out. Time of rest gives us opportunity to be with God. And that might look different for each one of us. How I connect with God is going to look different from how you connect with him. Just as how I relate with other people is going to look different. We're all unique, and we draw close to God in unique ways. I love to draw close to God by going for a walk to the monastery close to our home. I stick my earbuds in and the worship music, and I walk up there, and I just listen, I worship, I praise. And at the top of the monastery grounds, there is this incredible view that looks out over the Fraser River and the valley below. And on a clear day, you can see Mount Baker. And then to the left, the mountains in Chilliwack. It is just absolutely amazing and awe-inspiring. And I will just spend time there just looking and praising and praying. And it's just an incredible time. And there are moments where it feels like I could just touch God. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you could just touch him. But I've got a confession to make. I don't do it as often as I'd like. And you know why I don't do it as often as I like? Because I'm so busy. I tell myself I don't have time to take the hour to go up there and come back. Do I spend time with God every day? Yeah, of course I do. But do I truly rest in him? Sometimes, but not most of the time. I'm learning about this along with you guys. And this is hard for us to put into practice in our culture today. In his book, The Rest of God, Mark Buchanan states that what we've really lost is the rest God bestows, and with it, that part of himself we can only know through stillness. When we're so busy, so distracted, we can truly miss knowing God. God has given us the commandment to rest every seventh day as a gift. It's his permission to stop and be refreshed, body, mind, and spirit. We all know that our bodies need physical rest. If we go without sleep for an extended period of time, our body will shut down. We can't think clearly, we have accidents, we make mistakes, we say things we shouldn't, we've all done that, right? If we don't take physical rest, eventually we'll get sick, and our body literally forces us to stop. I'll be honest with you, the only time that I feel free to do absolutely nothing is when I'm sick. Because at other times, I have this nagging feeling that I should be doing something productive. What about our mind and emotions? We might stop physically, but are we resting mentally and emotionally? Or is our mind still going a mile a minute? Sometimes we avoid resting physically because we don't want to think. We don't want to face what it is we're running from. We don't want to process the pain we're going through. But if we don't stop and give ourselves the opportunity to rest mentally and emotionally, to process what's going on inside, our mind can get sick, depression can set in, and we can actually turn to unhealthy forms of self-medication. What about spiritually? If we don't take time to connect with God, relationship with Him becomes distant. We feel lost and empty, dry and unable to reach Him. Our faith weakens and we lose peace and joy. The good news, this good news, guys, is that Jesus came to restore everything to its original state as God created it in the beginning to bring healing to this broken world. When He says, "Come to me, all of you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest," He means complete rest. He means physical, mental, and spiritual. How does He do that? Well, physically, the scripture tells us that God is our provider. We don't have to carry the burden of doing it alone. He's aware of our needs. He will provide for them. Jesus says in Matthew 6, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are?" In Philippians, Paul assures his readers that just as God has provided for his needs, He will provide for theirs. "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." God ultimately is our provider. He knows our needs. We can trust in Him. This assurance allows us to rest from our paid work. By taking a day of rest, we're saying, "Lord, I trust you. I don't need to work 24/7 because I know you've got this." What an incredible gift that is. Resting mentally and emotionally can be so hard for us, but again, Jesus is asking us to come to Him with everything. Absolutely everything that we're carrying. Hurts, fears, disappointments, concerns, worries. Peter writes, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you." And in Philippians 4, Paul tells us, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Notice that both writers encourage us to take our worries to God. He's interested even in our smallest concerns. He wants to help. He wants to carry the burden. By giving everything to God, we can find rest mentally and emotionally. Knowing that we're not alone, knowing that He holds us, it can bring a peace and a comfort to our souls. This rest can be found in every day and in every moment. Philip Carey writes, "Every time we turn to Christ in faith, it's like a moment of Sabbath, a little foretaste of eternal rest and glory. The gift of that moment lies not in what we do, but in what we receive. It is the holy time set aside to receive the greatest gift God ever has to give, which is Himself, His own beloved Son." God commanded the Sabbath day of rest so that people could have not only physical rest from their labor, but they could also have time and space to connect with Him and with others. We're told that this day of rest is to be dedicated to the Lord. He's to be the central focus of this day. There's lots of ideas out there about how we can restore Sabbath rest to our lives. But we need to be careful. The Israelites became incredibly legalistic about this day, which is why Jesus said in Mark 2, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." Practicing Sabbath is a great way to start building true rest in our lives. And it doesn't matter what day of the week it is. But a day to be fully restored, to be free of busyness and the pressures of life, that sounds incredibly great to me. We mustn't look at this commandment as a rule to follow or another box to tick. Because if we do that, we're not going to find rest. Rather, we need to view it as God intended us to. A precious gift from a loving Heavenly Father who wants us to have a full, abundant, good life. He knows what we need physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He offers us the security to enable us to rest fully in Him. He wants us to finish the race and to finish it strong. This reminds me of my running days. I used to be a long-distance runner. And when I was learning to run half marathons, which is 21 and a half kilometers, so yes, it is a long way, right, Kara? My coach taught me to run it doing 10 and ones. And so we would run for 10 minutes and then walk for a minute. And that minute allowed my heart to recover so that it would be able to run for the next 10 minutes. But not only did it help my body physically, it also helped my mind. Because long distance running is as much a mental battle as it is a physical battle. Any of you guys that are long distance runners, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you get to that point where you hit the wall. But knowing that every 10 minutes I got to walk, that helped me to endure, to make it through. So I get to the first half marathon race that I was going to run. And I still wasn't fully convinced that this 10 and 1 thing was a good deal. But you know what? My coach said I should do it, so I did it. The hardest part for me was the beginning of the race, right? The first half of the race, you're running, and guess what happens? I stop to walk, and people start overtaking me. Not fun. I'm not that competitive, but I'm competitive enough that when somebody runs past me, there's kind of this inner urge, I gotta run. But I didn't. I followed what I was supposed to do. The interesting thing for me was when I got to the second half of the race, guess what? I started passing them. That was a good feeling. Just saying, it was a good feeling. I got to kilometer 20. I was feeling pretty good, I'll be honest with you. I was tired, but I was feeling good. I was feeling strong. And so I decided to pick up the pace a little bit. And then about 200 or 300 meters, I saw the finish line. I was still feeling strong. Do you guys know what I did? What did I do? Any guesses? I sprinted. I actually sprinted across that finish line, and man, I tell you, it felt so good to be able to finish that race strong because I'd done the 10 and ones. This Sabbath rest is not meant to be burdensome. It's like my 1 minute of walking. It's a gift. It was created to help us finish strong, running the race with endurance. It revives us and helps us to work effectively the other 6 days of the week. God created six and ones to give us abundant life. This day is to be filled with joy and laughter and fun and celebration. Through community, through solace, through time spent with God, through whatever brings refreshing, doing what brings us life. We need to be creative, think outside the box. As long as what we do, we're doing it for the glory of God. We need to also understand that this Sabbath day of rest is a foreshadowing of heaven. What heaven will be like. Being with God, resting with Him. Where there's going to be no sin and no pain and no tears. It's actually practice for spending eternity with God. It's engaging in the future hope that we have. Imagine how we could impact our culture if we truly celebrated Sabbath rest as God intended. If we refused to be pressured by this culture, and rather walk to the beat of His drum. If our stopping to rest and enjoy life showed the world a better way to live. If we stepped off the fast track and began to trust Him, really trust Him, allowing ourselves to live simpler, more freeing, and restful lives. What would that do? The Israelites were chosen to show the world around them who God is. That was their primary mission. And you know what? As God's people today, that's not changed. We are His ambassadors. That is our primary mission. We're to show others who Jesus is. If we're not living this good life that Jesus paid for, what was the point of His sacrifice? Our ability to be countercultural will lead others to Christ. And isn't that what our deepest heart's desire is? So how do we start to incorporate Sabbath rest more fully into our lives? I'm going to give you some next steps. First of all, we need to be honest about where God places in our life. Is He first? Next, we need to examine why we do what we do. And this isn't going to be easy. This is a hard one. This might mean you sitting down with a friend or a family member or a mentor and really getting them to ask you the tough questions about why you're doing what you're doing. And then we need to ask, is there room for change? And if there is, start small. Incorporate times of rest into moments of the day and stop and simply be. And I know if there's mums out there with babies and preschoolers, they're going to want to throw things at me. I get it. I understand. I've been there. But there are moments when those babies are napping or when the kids have gone to bed at night. Instead of going, I'm going to get this chore done and that chore done. No. Take that opportunity to just stop and be still before the Lord. If you're working, take an actual lunch break. Like physically move away from your workspace and be still. And students, you're going to love me telling you this. You're going to say to your professor, my pastor gave me permission. Put that research paper to one side for a moment and just go for a walk and talk to your dad. Be creative. Find what works for you. It's possible. God would not have gifted us with this if it wasn't. Be patient with yourself. This isn't easy. This is a process. It's going to be tough at times. It takes time to be comfortable with doing nothing for a little while. And once you've started to practice it, begin to expand your time, taking more here and there or making it a little bit longer. Just remember, there's no right or wrong way to rest in God's presence. In conclusion, I want to remind you of a couple of things. Remember, we don't earn rest, we're given rest. It's a gift, just like salvation. God ultimately wants relationship with us. He wants us to know Him, really, truly know Him. He has given us rest as an avenue to do that, whether it's physical rest from work so we can sit at His feet and be restored, or whether it's rest in a moment when we're afraid or worried and simply need to give Him our concerns. God's promises allow us peace of mind and ultimately rest for our souls. Our future is assured through the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. If you want to dig deeper into this subject, I recommend you reading The Rest of God by Mark Buchanan. Wonderful book. It's going to transform your mind. It's excellent. In addition, there's going to be notes and further questions posted on the website this week. Next week, we're going to be learning about prayer. I want to close by reading Psalm 23. If you want to close your eyes, feel free to do that. You don't have to, but it might be a way of kind of getting focused. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Have a great Sunday, everyone, and we look forward to seeing you next week.